than the Amazon's steep coast to Gavani with his jar. Honey pillow of the wild willows there. Womanly waiting for her manly friend. Stab at the night is a husbandly joy. Locked in the tower by the enchanted voice of the star god Rhino with his lips overgrow. He dares to launch a near lady bar. Once a heart was made uncast in mortal love, but was in realms of a Gavani with his jar, hanging pillow of the wild willow tear, womanly waiting for her manly friend. Cha 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 cha.
Lionel Lark was an alchemist by profession, but he loved to quest. Ly and Mole were a romantic pair, Ly with his many-coloured zodiac coat flapping about as he rode the dawn wind. Rubbing his rimless spectacles, he lectured Mole in his larkish manner about the mythical lily pond and its latitude and longitude, and goofing sometimes, and mentioning the Hyperboreans, the frozen folk, who live behind the north wind. At 8 o'clock he scribbled little spells and directions on a dried mushroom parchment, and Moley got proudly into his pig's bladder balloon. Lionel took off, at first a little shakily, but soon as swift as the lordly eagle, the emperor of the sky-skinned airships. Bopping through the morning clouds, Kingsley rocked to and fro, now and again straightening his course by adjusting the misty spiderweb rope, which was harnessed around Lionel's little puffed-out chest. They made a wonderful sight, these animal Wright brothers. A lonely elf crunched the autumn leaves and solemnly dictated to his mouse scribe long winding spirals of wonderful runes, which, in our heavy translation, would awaken Ra at midnight, or unhibernate a legion of polyalbino-eyed hedgehogs, or even cause a chasm on the deeply swirl of foxnecks to drown a blessed water lily. Pan be praised for elfish ability to know about wisdom and to use it wisely. The elf's autumn feet, hidden in rose-petal-pointed shoes, walked into the mighty grove, and his never-ending stream of merriment soared and gushed Niagarally through the wonderful kingdom. But, even as quick as it came, it had ceased. His wise eyes became beacons of true light. As the piggy bundle tumbled from the blessed heavens, the leaping elf hastily harnessed his beloved tame nightingale and made for the point of ejection with a heart of many carrots. Entangled in thorns and briars was Kingsley Mole, his snout sticking high in the splendid air. Tents of zodiac folds cascaded over Lionel's larkish dome. Dispectacled, he moaned into Kingsley Mole's eyes and cursed all flying machines doomed to rely on the fickleness of piggish bladders. The two saddened creatures trundled from their rosebush prison and lay scarlet and fatigued in the escaping afternoon. The handsome elven figure soared through dusking skies and upon landing kissed the proud brow of his sky steed and called a greeting to Mole and Ly. After tea from acorn cups and slices of blueberry pie, the handsome elf told all the large legends that he knew about the perilous pond and its scaly protectors. Also of its healing ability and how one draught of pond dew could put forests of tangling tufts on the baldest badger or field mouse's heads. After glowworm talks and plans for the quest, the elf led the tired companions through the foreboding fairy wood until they reached a large, beautifully worked leather fencing boot, which had a door in its heel.
"My great-grandfather,"
the elf said as Lionel commented about the image engraved on the doorknob.
"An alchemist, you know,"
said the fairy one.
"Hmm,"
said Ly suspiciously. They were made very comfortable in beds of great expanse, spiderweb sheets, and towers of warm woolly moss blankets. And, as always in an elfish abode, dreams of the gentlest texture.